Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is what Christians believe regarding saving faith enough to save Latter-day Saints? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. That's basically the question that we've been asking for the past few broadcasts, because we have heard more than once Mormons trying to use this argument that based on what Christians believe regarding what entails saving faith, that should also include all Latter-day Saints, because Mormons, they argue, also have a belief in Jesus. They believe that Jesus is the Savior. And so if we believe that you're saved by faith in Jesus, then why wouldn't a Mormon be saved? Just because they have added works to the mix, does that really disqualify them? And the way we've been looking at this is, first of all, we don't describe saving faith the same way, and that becomes a big problem. I know Mormons will often say that they believe Jesus is the Savior. It's almost like that's a title for Jesus rather than what he is to them personally, because there are certain things that a Mormon must do if they own Jesus to be their personal Savior. I'm not talking about Savior generically. I'm talking about their personal Savior, and therein lies the problem. So we've been going through a couple of examples where Mormons have used this argument, and yesterday we began looking at an email that I personally received from a faithful Latter-day Saint on May 14th, 2015. If you want to catch up to what we've been talking about, then I would encourage you to check out our archives by going to mrm.org and clicking on the box on air. That'll take you to where those archives can be found. Let's go on in his email to me, Eric, where it starts with the irony.
The irony is that evangelicals think Mormons are going to hell, while at the same time, Mormons believe that evangelicals are going to heaven without doing any works whatsoever.
Well, let's stop right there, because first of all, we need to define some words. When he talks about evangelicals are going to heaven, I can assure you that this individual is not assuming that all evangelicals are going to go to the celestial kingdom, where I would think this Mormon is hoping to end up in. So when he uses the word heaven, that can be very misleading. First of all, heaven, for those outside of the LDS Church, is going to be very different than what the Mormon who hopes to be exalted is going to experience as far as heaven is concerned. What did Joseph Fielding Smith say about this in his book, Answers to Gospel Questions, Volume 2?
Yeah, this is Volume 2, page 210. And he said, those who enter the celestial kingdom likewise will have to go to some earth which is prepared for them, and there will be another place which is hell, where the devil and those who are punished to go with him will dwell. Of course, those who enter the celestial kingdom and those who enter the terrestrial kingdom will have the eternal punishment which will come to them in knowing that they might, if they had kept the commandments of the Lord, have returned to his presence as his sons and his daughters. This will be a torment to them, and in that sense, it will be hell. That sure doesn't sound like heaven to me.
He didn't say this will be heaven. He said this will be hell. So when this Latter-day Saint's trying to give the impression that we as evangelicals are going to end up in a heaven, what you just described doesn't sound like heaven to me.
No.
Having this eternal regret that I could have done better, even that, though it may not involve any type of physical torture, it seems like in this description it's more mental torture, it still doesn't sound like my idea of heaven. Now, the way I understand heaven is to be in the presence of God, to be in the presence of my Savior throughout eternity. That is my idea of heaven. Now, I know for most Latter-day Saints, whether Jesus is there or not really doesn't matter to them. It's all about being with their family. That's not how I understand heaven in the New Testament. So here, I think that statement and this alleged irony is a little bit misleading.
The email goes on and says, it seems to me that evangelicals make salvation very difficult.
When I read that, it was kind of hard for me to believe, because many times we're accused of making salvation way too easy. Really, who is making salvation difficult? If any religion makes salvation difficult, you would think it would be Mormonism. Just look at this description of what is involved for the Latter-day Saint just to hope to be justified.
Well, this is Bruce McConkie, and he wrote this in Mormon Doctrine, page 408, but this was also quoted in a correlated church manual called Doctrines of the Gospel Student Manual, Religions 231 and 232, page 50. So that gives it another sense of authority besides what McConkie said. Here's what he said. What then is the law of justification? It is simply this. All covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations in which men must abide to be saved and exalted must be entered into and performed in righteousness so that the Holy Spirit can justify the candidate for salvation in what has been done.
And of course, what has been done has to be by the candidate, which would be, in this case, this context, would be the Latter-day Saint. This is what they must do. They must keep all these covenants and all these obligations. And that is really the whole purpose of our discussion with Latter-day Saints. When we ask them, are you doing this? They usually will not say yes to that question.
And the view that the Christian has, as far as justification by faith alone, 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith, in The Restoration of All Things, page 192, said this, one of the most pernicious doctrines ever advocated by man is the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which has entered into the hearts of millions since the days of the so-called Reformation. So right there, he's admitting that we have a huge difference when it comes to the idea of justification. And what McConkie has just said here are all the things that you have to do, which basically entails keeping all the commandments. The email goes on and says, I guess that according to you, if a person has any false or mistaken belief, they're going to hell regardless of the sincerity of their heart and their faith in the Savior.
Well, let me stop right there because that's really misrepresenting what I believe. I think within Christianity, there is a lot of room for differences of opinion on what we would call secondary issues. This, however, is not a secondary issue. Jesus made it very clear. He said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That sounds like a pretty serious threat. That doesn't sound like universalism to me. It doesn't sound like it's all-encompassing that no matter what you believe, just because I'm Jesus, you're okay. That's not what he was saying. But think about it. If, as a Christian, I believe that my faith is actually one that believes in Jesus doing everything for me, wouldn't that kind of faith rank higher than, let's say, a Mormon's faith who thinks that his faith in Jesus is certainly necessary to a certain extent, but there's more that has to be done to what Jesus did? In other words, my faith would be more of a complete trust in what Jesus did for me on the cross, whereas the Mormon's faith is somewhat in what Jesus did, and whatever other percentage they want to give it would, of course, be in their own ability to perform and do works. I'm not saying they don't believe in a doctrine of grace. They certainly do, but even their definition of grace is different than ours.
Yeah, D. Todd Christensen, a Mormon apostle, in the Ensign magazine from June 2001 on page 24, said this in part, we only become perfect in Christ, and he says, see Moroni 10:32.
Oh, interesting. Moroni 10:32. Deny yourselves of all ungodliness. How many Mormons have done that?
And he says you have to become perfect in Christ, not independently of him. Thus, what is required of us in order to obtain mercy in the day of judgment is simple diligence.
And we're not saying that Mormons believe it's independent of him. We're not saying that at all. But still, when you think there's more that needs to be done other than what Jesus did on the cross, you are telling us that Jesus' sacrifice was not all sufficient. We look at that as blasphemous. That's a serious issue with us.
As the hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It's not the owing that happens before. It's what Jesus has paid before. The email goes on and says, let's just assume that the LDS Church isn't true as you say. Isn't God's grace powerful enough to provide salvation for someone who doesn't belong to the correct denomination?
Well, here's the straw man. We never said that salvation doesn't belong to someone who's not of what he thinks is the correct denomination. I'm not saying that. Many Christians belong to different denominations, but their saving faith is all in the same source, and that is in what Jesus did for them on the cross. That is the saving faith. So when he uses this straw man that somehow I'm saying that you don't, if you don't belong to the same denomination that I belong in, that you're probably not going to be saved. I've never said that. I would never say that, because my question is, when a Mormon says to me, well, what kind of person do you think is saved? Or they'll say to me something like, well, do you think Mormons are saved? My response is usually something like this. Well, it all depends on the Mormon you're talking about. Is the Mormon that you're thinking of a forgiven Mormon? Because forgiveness is what matters in this whole discussion. And yet when I ask Latter-day Saints if they have that assurance that they're forgiven, they don't even know. Well, if they don't know if they're forgiven, who am I to make that faulty assumption that they must be when the individual Mormon himself doesn't know that? I'm not going to do that.
Well, Bill, in the Christian idea of heaven, who's going to occupy that place?
The point is that heaven, outside, and I've said this yesterday, outside of the Godhead, outside of the angels, heaven will be occupied by forgiven individuals. You have to be forgiven. That's the only way you're going to be in heaven. And the only way you're going to get forgiveness is through the blood of Christ that was shed for you as a believer, putting your trust in what he did for you. Savior is not just a title to me. It's something that he did for me. So even in that understanding, I would say that we're different. And I think that this individual is certainly raising a lot of straw man arguments.
This makes me think of Matthew chapter 7 and the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about somebody who comes at the judgment throne and says, Lord, Lord, look at all the good things I've done. And what is Jesus' response? You would think that he would welcome him with open arms. Oh, that's wonderful, based on your works. But instead, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. And I think that's something that a lot of people misunderstand, that somehow your actions, your goodness, can qualify you for heaven. And that's certainly not what Christianity has taught.
It's not what Christianity has taught, but it certainly is what the Doctrine and Covenants teaches in section 76, verse 52. It says that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the hands of him who was ordained and sealed unto his power. We don't see this in the New Testament. It doesn't say that by keeping his commandments, we are going to be washed and cleansed from all our sins. We are justified. We are forgiven by our faith. Latter-day Saint, I encourage you, go read the book of Galatians. I don't know how you can miss it when you read the book of Galatians. Paul makes it very clear that it's not by works that we have done. And that's another point in Titus 3:5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. His mercy that is applied to us when we come to him in faith, believing he paid the total penalty for our sins.
And that's a glorious hope.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The new 2015 Revised and Expanded Edition of Mormonism 101 is now available from Baker Books. With updated quotations and new information, this resource will be a worthwhile addition to any Christian's library. In order to give us a boost into the traditionally financially slow summer months, we're offering a signed copy of Mormonism 101 for your gift of $35.01. The 1 cent on the end tells us you'd like to take advantage of this limited offer. Now, if you're led to give more, just make sure your donation ends with 1 cent. Thank you for your much-needed support.